From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Mary Beth Maziarz, and this morning we speak first with the Park City Community Foundation's Alexis Brown and several sponsors of Live PC, Give PC, which is coming up in just a few days, who joined the show to explore the many ways that they affect the community in wonderful, positive ways. We've got also Garrett Barner of J.P. Morgan and Ryan Madiri of Ski Butlers. Then OBGYN and menopause expert Dr. Jessica Shepherd shares effective navigation skills for perimenopause and menopause. Dr. Shepherd is the chief medical officer of the company HERS, providing health and wellness services for women. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Mary Beth Maziarz. Well, this morning we're going to talk a little bit about Live PC, Give PC, a wonderful day of giving for our community that's been around for quite a while. We're going to hear from Alexis Brown, who's the VP of Development at Park City Community Fund, as well as Ryan Madiri from Ski Butlers and Garrett Barner from J.P. Morgan. Welcome, everybody.
Hi there.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, great to be here.
Oh, of course. Well, let's start a little bit with you, Alexis. I think we've all been familiar with the nice green signs and the bright orange letters of Live PC, Give PC, but how long has Park City been taking part in this tradition?
This is our 14th year of Live PC, Give PC, and Park City Community Foundation is really dedicated here in Park City and Summit County to bringing the community together to solve our area's greatest challenges. We do that throughout the year, but Live PC, Give PC every November is our opportunity to really shine a spotlight on that and bring the community together for 24 hours of community giving and set a goal around what can we do in 24 hours and how much support can we bring to the over 130 nonprofit organizations that really provide some of the essential services that all of us benefit from here in Park City and Summit County. If you live, work, or play here in the area, there is a nonprofit really having a wonderful impact on your life. And so Live PC, Give PC is an opportunity for you to give back to those organizations.
Probably more than one.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Many, many. And I would say that we at the Community Foundation try to make it easy to give to a lot of organizations on the day. And we can't do that without some of our amazing sponsors here. Like you said, we have a couple here in studio with us. Obviously, our presenting sponsor is Park City Mountains, supported by Vail Resorts Epic Promise. And we have had a list of quite a few that have been with us for so many years. Like you said, Ski Butlers and J.P. Morgan have been with us for a long time. And all of us are, you know, coming together this year. It's been growing and growing, like I said, over the last 14 years. So this is our 14th year. It's grown from a small giving day to this year. We're hoping to engage 7,300 donors.
Wow.
And reach 5 million in giving.
Wow. And your early days were much more modest. What was the first goal the first year?
So the first year we raised 300,000, and that was back in 2011.
Wow.
And so, you know, it came into this community with our first executive director, Tricia Worthington, you know, brought it from the Midwest and just said, you know, I think our community, you know, Park City and Summit County here can do something like this. And so it was, you know, it seems modest, you know, coming to where we are now at, you know, reaching for 5 million. But at the time, it really was an amazing success. And, you know, we brought it back for year number two and it doubled. You know, mm-hmm. That second year was 600,000. And it really just has been, you know, ticking up from there. But we have an incredibly generous community here and who really understands and sees how much this nonprofit community does for us. And so we're grateful to be a part of a community who sees and supports our nonprofits here.
I am grateful to be part of that community too. Well, let me ask the sponsors who are with us today. Garrett Barner from J.P. Morgan, what brought J.P. Morgan to this project, and what's important about it that makes you want to be such an important sponsor?
Yeah.
Well, JB, great to be here. JB Morgan, I mean, has been in Utah for a long time, and in particular, Park City is a really important market to us. We have two branches here. We have about 20 or so employees, as well as, you know, individuals who live here. And so for us, when we're thinking about the Park City Community Foundation and we're thinking about giving back to our community, we can't really think of any other organization we'd love to support more. And so as we were evaluating our options, I mean, we have a long-standing relationship with Park City Community Foundation too. And so for us, as Alexis was saying, you know, we live, work, and play here, and we really want to give back as much as possible. And a day like Live Give is really critical to us, and we want to support it as much as possible.
And just to give you a little extra bone for your sponsorship, are the JP Morgan outlets here, is it a bank? Is it private wealth management? What kind of things do you cover?
Yeah, so I mean, a variety of ways. I mean, on the retail side, we have two branches here, one in Kimball Junction and then one right down the street here near Main Street. And so that's oriented more towards the retail part.
Those are the Chase banks?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then in addition to that, we have our private bank, which is headquartered down in Salt Lake, but we cover a lot of clients here in Park City, as well as our commercial bank and our business bank. We really cover all aspects of Park City, whether it be just the individual all the way up to some of the larger businesses in the area.
Wonderful. Thank you. And let's talk with you, Ryan, from Ski Butlers. First, what does Ski Butlers do, in case our listeners aren't familiar with you?
Yeah, that's a great question. We do one thing. We do it really well, and that's deliver ski equipment, snowboard equipment to guests coming into, you know, obviously into this market and the others that we operate in.
Nice. And is that something that people, they plan ahead, they reserve, or they can call you when they get here? How does it work?
A little bit of both. We do prefer that they call ahead. We've got a lot of great partnerships with property managers, hotels throughout all of our markets. But we do have a reactive side of the business as well. If a guest is showing up, they need ski equipment within an hour, give us a call. And as long as we have the equipment and the resources, we'll make it happen.
Well, I don't know. As a person who's been here for 35 years, I really remember those hot, sweaty mornings sitting in the ski place, waiting and waiting and waiting as the snow comes down and you're watching the powder disappear. So I don't know if anybody will want to give that up, Ryan.
Yeah, you sold it pretty well. You know, that's kind of exactly what we're looking for in terms of shifting the mindset away from walking into the shop and having it be a really comfortable, simple, and convenient experience.
Especially if you have young people in your life, man, just being able to get them ready in your condo, in your home, is such a luxury.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what brought Ski Butlers to want to be part of Live PC, Give PC?
Yeah, so we've been a part of Live Give since either the first or second year. I've been here for 8 years, and it was one of my best memories from my first year at Ski Butlers was being a part of Live Give. Just an amazing day. Great memories, not only with our team in kind of building those relationships, but also with, you know, a number of people in the community. But Ski Butlers was founded here in Park City in 2004. And one of our core values is to give and giving back to the community, being a part of our local community. So it just really falls in line with who we are. And again, we've been a part of it since the beginning, and our sponsorship and involvement has grown every year.
Wow. And I've heard a little bit that, well, Alexis had mentioned how Trish Worthington was pivotal in helping this idea land in Park City from a Midwestern roots. But I've heard a little bit that Ski Butlers is helping spread the word to some other areas. Have you heard that as well?
We have, and not to say that, you know, we're maybe the impetus behind that,
sure,
but we're a part of very similar events in a number of our markets. Steamboat, for example, a couple of our new markets as well, over in Tremblant, and then up in Stratton, Vermont. They do 24-hour days of giving as well. And it's again, with our core value being give, one of them, it's a big focus for us.
Oh, that's wonderful. I just love how mountain towns, but really any towns, can share great ideas and bounce off each other, like running of the balls and the shot ski, some of the fun things that we do in towns. It's really fun traditions. They may have been thought of somewhere else, and then they become woven into our culture. We're lucky to have those great resources. Well, Alexis, let me ask you, you mentioned the number of givers as being an important metric too. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think like we kind of mentioned, I think honestly, nonprofits certainly need, their funds to move their missions forward. We have nonprofits that are providing essential services, healthcare, childcare, arts and culture, all of those things. But I think to your point, something that really makes Park City and Summit County special is the fact that it really means something to be a part of this community. And so really what we lead out with is that donor goal that we have of 7,300, because I think part of being in this community, whether you've been here for 35 years, like you mentioned, or 8 years, or you're brand new, you moved here last week and you're walking around on Friday seeing everybody waving the signs on the street corners, to be a part of this community, I think Live PC, Give PC has become a part of that story, a part of that story of Park City in this community. So that's why we lean so heavily into that goal of making a gift on Live PC, Give PC. So to be a Parkite and to be a part of this, I'm grateful that Live PC, Give PC has become a part of that story. And so that's what I think that we want to be encouraging, is giving to nonprofits in this community, I think, is a part of our identity at this point. And so that's what we would encourage when you're deciding how to get involved in Live PC, Give PC. And there's so many ways to get involved in this. And so obviously a part of that is making a donation at www.livepcgivepc.org. And gifts could be $5. If that's what you'd like to give and you want to give to that myriad of, 50 organizations on the day, $5 across the board, that's amazing. Or if it's $5,000 to your single or one or two organizations that really, hit close to home, that's amazing too, however you want to give. But there's so many other ways to get involved on the day beyond, that donor goal as well. So like I said, you'll be seeing folks all around town on the day waving signs. All of the nonprofits have ways to engage, from having parties, throughout the day, ways to engage with them, going into their shops. I got my coffee this morning from Lucky Ones at Park City Library. They're decorated and ready to be celebrating with us. So there'll be things kind of going on throughout the day. And then we're hosting our own, parties too, on the day of Live PC, Give PC. One at Park City Library called Giving Fest from 4 to 6. We'll have hot chocolate and free tacos and a scab.
Anybody can come.
Public. Oh, we want everybody to be involved. And food, drinks, a scavenger hunt throughout the library. A claw machine is brand new. Yeah, exactly. And so just ways to kind of, come and connect and be a part of the day. And then, so that's from 4 to 6 at Park City Library. And then later in the evening from 4 to midnight, so kind of closing out that 24 hours, we'll be at High West Saloon to be, celebrating and hopefully crossing some of those finish lines, that 7,300 donor goal and the $5 million. Hopefully we'll all be celebrating together.
And I've attended that party and it's really, really fun.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I think is special about it is what you mentioned, that you can, if you're a person of means and you can give a big donation to something that matters to you a lot, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And if you are of more modest means, you can still be a part of it, whether by volunteering or giving a small amount, whatever is appropriate to you. We'd like to give the kids a little bit of an allowance so you can start introducing kids to philanthropy at an early age. I think it's they usually go straight to like Nuzzles and Co. or whatever, because they're the cutest. But there are so many things, and when you have them look around at all the ways that these nonprofits affect their lives, the concerts that we go to and the recreation we enjoy, it helps them be aware too of what's going on in the community, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's actually kind of a fun way too. You can either do this with kids or other folks in your life. New this year, we have giving cards. So like actual gift cards that you can be giving to other folks in your life if you're wanting to get new folks who are either new to town or new to Live PC, Give PC. You can hop onto the livepcgivepc.org website and you can actually make a gift and give a giving card to someone else in your life to then make a gift to an organization. That's new this year. So
they
super
can select
exciting.
Where they'd like the,
exactly.
the money to go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So something new and exciting this year.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And Ryan, you were saying that Ski Butlers is doing something new. What are you guys doing?
Yeah, we've got a new product really excited about. It's called Ski Butlers Express. We are rolling out, it's basically a contactless delivery. We can just drop the equipment off with the guest. They pre-sign their waivers, and it's an option now for a guest to have a quicker, more convenient interaction with Ski Butlers if that's what works best for them.
Oh, that's nice. Great.
We also have a couple of new markets as well. We're really excited to launch, I mentioned earlier, Tremblant up outside of Montreal. We are launching Blue Mountain up north of Toronto, and Big Bear in Southern California. So three new markets, getting them off the ground and really excited about where those are heading.
Great, so if you're familiar with the services and you like to ski other places, you can feel some consistency in your process. That's terrific.
That's exactly right.
So Garrett, a big corporation like JP Morgan sometimes can seem kind of anonymous. How do these events help you feel more connected with the community?
Yeah, great question, and we get that question a lot. I think what's important to us within the community is, though JP Morgan is a large corporation, we're here to make the firm feel small. And so that means making an impact in our local markets and being given the resources to do so, supporting, you know, organizations like Park City Community Foundation, the Sorensen Impact Fund. You know, all across the state, we're really focused on that. And so our goal is to make that big corporation feel small and in particular feel supported within Park City. And so our main goal is to see where we can put our resources and, you know, where we can put funds and determine where that's going to be most beneficial for our local communities. Because though we are out of New York, you know, Utah is extremely important to us as well as Park City. You know, that's where we live. That's where our clients live. And that's a really important market for us.
That's wonderful. Could you tell us again how many nonprofits are participating this year, Alexis?
Over 130.
Wow.
So quite a few. Yeah.
And I know there are always a couple, you know, big winners who really get the word out, and they are terrific. But what are some of the smaller ones that maybe we shouldn't miss this year?
Oh, great question. I would say, it totally depends on the, oh goodness, there are so many.
Not to call you out,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Well, I love too many is the problem. That's exactly
well,
what it is.
Well, what are just a couple that you like?
Yeah, I would say, you know, some standout ones for me. Some ones that are on my mind, I kind of go to folks like Mountain Mediation who are doing some mediation services here in town. I think of folks like Summit County Clubhouse who are providing kind of wraparound services for adults with some challenges kind of in their
sure.
lives as they're getting back on their feet. I think of organizations like Summit Community Gardens and Eats. I think of organizations, I always go to childcare. I know that's one that's near and dear to my heart, so I always think of who are caring for your kids. So I'm going to throw that one out there. Those are the ones that kind of come, you know, to the top of my mind. But I think the thing that when you're hopping on livepcgivepc.org and looking for the folks and the organizations that resonate to you, that we try to make it as easy as possible to kind of search for, of course, the ones that are resonating with you, so you'll be able to see, you know, kind of those leaderboards, like you said, the ones mm-hmm. that are kind of popping to the top. But you can search by cause area. So think about the things that really resonate to you. Think about the things that really make your life tick, the things that you're seeing that need the support in the world right now, and maybe pick a few that you haven't supported before. So think of the ones that have affected your life and think about those causes that resonate and read through. These nonprofits have put a lot of work into showcasing themselves and showcasing the work. And so maybe do a little bit of both this year and fill kind of your virtual cart, as it were, with some of those organizations. But then take a look at those leaderboards too, because
sure.
I also think that it is interesting to see, you know, how things are kind of shaking out, because that's a really, I would say that when you look at the leaderboards, the leaderboards, like you said, those are some of the big ones that are doing a lot of the work kind of in that space. That's a good showcase of why to give give on a giving day like this. So what we do on Live PC, Give PC is it's a good showcase of what this community can do when we all come together and make a huge impact. And so you can take a peek at everything by cause area. So if it's, you know, people in community and physical and mental health, all of those things.
Arts
and culture, all of those things, exactly. And so those are the areas that our sponsors like, you know, JP Morgan, Ski Butlers, CVMA, you know, when they come in and they sponsor, they part of their sponsorship is actually some extra prizes on the day as well. So that's what I would say is, like, we actually get the question quite often, why give on Live PC, Give PC, and why give, you know, through this day as opposed to any other day of the year? And I would say that's actually a good showcase, like when you're hopping on and you're seeing kind of some of this action that's happening of lots of donors kind of giving, and you're seeing some of these folks in those categories. So these sponsors have engaged, and part of their sponsorship actually goes into prizes that are happening on Live PC, Give PC as well. And so the folks who are getting the most unique donors on the day actually have some prizes that they're getting on the day as well. And so all of these sponsors, they are signing up in alignment with their values in those categories. And so some of their sponsorships are going to some extra prizes for these nonprofits as well. So you kind of throwing in your hat and making a donation to these organizations, that's kind of your vote for them to get some extra prizes on the day as well. So if you're thinking, oh, should I give on Live Give or should I give any other day of the year? There are definitely some reasons to give to show this community that, you know, we are all in, we are giving collectively on this day, and we have some extra prizes, $37,000 actually, dollars in prizes that are going to be going out today thanks to our amazing sponsors.
I love that because, you know, we hear a little bit about event fatigue and how many things there are always to do in Park City, but there can be a bit of giving fatigue too. So by putting it on this day when you're like, here's your big moment, everybody, we're going to take this moment, we're not going to procrastinate about it, we're not going to mean to send a check or send a Venmo, we're going to actually just sit down and do it. And it's got those nice rewards and sometimes matching and all kinds of fun stuff. I love to trawl the bottom getters, and I just love to throw them a bone because you're like, these, it might mean quite a lot to them to have a few $100 that they didn't expect. And I love to see the very top people too, because it's a great barometer of what the community is valuing so much at this moment.
Absolutely. And you made another great case for why to give. Amazing matches happening on the day. I bet you could go down all of these organizations. So many of them have matches going. So if you're hopping on, I bet you can get your dollars doubled at nearly every organization on Live PC, Give PC. And giving is going on now, too. So if you go to www.livepcgivepc.org right now and start looking through, giving is live now. Matches are live now. So you can start thinking about who you're giving to right now. Prizes are happening on Live PC, Give PC on Friday for sure. But you can start scoping it out now for sure if you're a planner like me.
I might challenge our listeners that if you are trawling around the early Black Friday sales sites, you may want to ask yourself, is there a percentage of these shopping dollars that I might want to put back into my community so that everyone's enjoying some Black Friday stuff? Well, let's see. We're going to wrap up shortly, but Ryan, Garrett, what else? What else would you like to have as a final note on what brought you to being part of this and why you love it?
Yeah. Just focusing on the community. It's when looking at our team this year, we've been talking about Live PC, Give PC quite a bit. We've got returning team members, we have new team members, and we kind of hype this up every year as the unofficial kickoff of our sort of internal culture and team member building. And again, it's just a great way to get involved in the community. So a big thank you to, you know, Alexis and everyone at the Community Foundation for having us be a part of this, for putting this all on. It, you know, it certainly wouldn't be possible without them.
And for us, I think it allows the employees of JP Morgan, as well as our clients and the focus we put on Live Give, to kind of take a step back, think about how have we been benefited by Park City, and really makes us think, what organizations do we benefit from on a daily basis that we might not think to donate to on a daily or weekly basis? And that's why I think Live Give is so critical, be it Mountain Trails or Search and Rescue. You know, it allows us to put the focus on those organizations that if you're out on a hike, you might not automatically think of Mountain Trails, but you know, giving a donation is really important to us.
It is. Well, thank you so much for being with us, everybody. I really appreciate it. Alexis Brown from the Park City Community Fund, Ryan Madiri from Ski Butlers, Garrett Barner from JP Morgan. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Welcome back to The Mountain Life. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Mary Beth Maziarz.
Well, what is Generation M? And is it really a thing? Well, if you tell women in their late 30s through 60s that it is actually Generation Menopause, they will likely agree that, yes, indeed, it is a thing. Our conversation this morning focuses on how women have been historically misled or silenced about their symptoms of perimenopause and menopause. And our guest is Dr. Jessica Shepherd. She's an OBGYN and a menopause expert, as well as the author of a new book, Generation M, Living Well in Perimenopause and Menopause. Dr. Shepherd is the chief medical officer of the company called HERS. It's an online health and wellness service for women. Dr. Jessica Shepherd, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, let's start with just some basics. What is perimenopause versus menopause? I feel like there's so many women who don't even know those distinctions, including perhaps myself.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you asked that. And we're starting out with that because I find that being able to define and give definitions is helpful so that the rest of the conversation has some context. But perimenopause really is, and you'll see it in the book, is that pregame phase towards menopause, and menopause I call the main event. But really it's this area and time frame in a woman's life where she's still having cycles, but she's starting to have fluctuations in her hormones, and that can start anywhere from latter 30s all the way through your 40s. Some people start in their mid 40s. So there's no real defining age on when it starts. It really is very different for every woman. But the experience is that there is going to be symptoms here or there, sometimes less frequent or less severe than what you'll experience in menopause. But the hallmark is you're still having cycles. And so as you're starting to go through these fluctuations of estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, is that you're starting to experience some of the side effects or the symptoms that are going to probably become a little bit more intense when you go through menopause. But many women are unable to see that these are actually symptoms of perimenopause because they're so, you just can't quite put the pieces together. And I have a lot of women who say, I just don't feel like myself or something's off. And that typically is what we say is the perimenopausal phase. Now, when you jump into menopause, really is when you haven't had a cycle for 12 months consecutively, that is when you actually can be saying, I am now reached menopause. And from there on, you're postmenopausal, or you stay in the menopausal phase, I guess you could say, until you die. Because that just means that you don't have a cycle and your estrogen and progesterone and testosterone are really declined to a level of where they are not fluctuating or giving you the hormones they used to earlier in life.
Yes. Well, is it that we as women are sort of in denial about our aging process? And I was even thinking this connection to being able to bear children, like on a really deep level, it seems like letting go of that is, it's pretty big. And so we just stuff it away for, I'll learn about that at another date in my life. It's not really happening to me. Is that what happens?
Oh yeah, I think that there is a definite brush off technique that goes on. But I think that a lot of that was brought on by stigma, right? The stigma of now I'm out of my reproductive phase. So a lot of value, I think, on women have been during that time frame. You know, when we look at what the value, quote unquote, on what women are is for reproductive purposes, right? And so when you move out of that phase, there's a lot of what goes on, who does what, what is your value and your worth? And there is so much value and worth to women outside of that phase. But I think that over time, that's why we start to see that people just don't talk about it, becomes more embarrassing than anything or shameful, And that really is, you know, Generation M was looked at a way to move away from that and be empowered by going through this phase, because every woman will go through it. And so what better way is to create a safe space for women to saying, I'm not the only one going through this. I can be seen and heard. And also, I can do this in a way that's actually empowering for me, and I don't have to suffer, right?
I have a, just briefly, could you share why it is that menopause even happens? I mean, we have our guys who are fathering children into their 80s, and yet it dries up over in the female line. Tell us what's up.
Yeah, that really is the biological clock, if that's what you want to say. That's something that we can't necessarily change is, you know, we are born with ovaries, and the goal of ovaries is to give off estrogen and progesterone and a slight bit amount of testosterone in order to ovulate. And once we ovulate, then obviously, you know what happens after that, either you get pregnant or you don't. And from that is there's a kind of a time lapse on those ovaries, right? And we're born with the amount of eggs that we will ever have. And so when we get to a phase where the reproductive portion of what women can do, because that's not the only thing that they can do, is that your ovaries therefore are not able to give off the hormones that will then allow you to ovulate. So once that occurs, biologically, now you're in another phase of your life, but really what we have categorized it to is, again, kind of these goals of a slide of good, bad, black, white, reproductive, non-reproductive. And that's where we kind of fall into this kind of category of how should a woman feel when they're now not in the reproductive phase. So it's a biological thing that is going to occur, but we've kind of pulled out of the biological part of that in saying now that has something to do with value, worth, experience, what you're able to do, your abilities, your pleasure. And I think that's where we have to change the narrative, and that's where we have to change the conversation, because we can't change the biological part of that, right?
Right, right, of course. And yeah. So it seems like this Generation M approach is reframing the menopause experience and the social, the physical, the empowerment of, ability of it. Tell us a little bit about just the entire thing that led you to this approach.
Yeah, you know, I've always been one, even in my, you know, medical training and medical career, you know, practicing now 15 plus years, is I've always been open to how does lifestyle play a factor in how we show up in life, in our health? And as much as I know about pathology and disease and condition, I was always a big cheerleader for what everyone can do in their everyday life that can improve the quality of their life, create sustainability, improve longevity. And the ways that we do that, that's actually the hardest part of my practice. The hardest part of my practice is actually to instill these lifestyle factors that someone can do outside of my office or outside of the operating room. And so with that, I said, you know, I've got to double down on what I believe in and provide a way, especially for women. You know, 6,000 women go through menopause a day. I see these women in my office every day. And every woman is going to go through menopause. Like, you can't escape it. That's the one. You can't escape it, even if you wanted to. Your experience might be different, but you can't escape it. And so the way to bring in that lifestyle portion, as well as the medical portion, was the best way to do that was through Generation M and giving life to it, especially now in this kind of time frame and where we are starting to see more written about menopause, is a lot of it still, there's still, like, to me, in not all instances, but there still is this scary part of it or this doom and gloom part to it. And I find that a lot of how we can, you know, have a perception of what's going to happen in life or what is my journey in life? What am I going through in this transition? A lot of how we think about it and how we give voice to it can dictate what our experience is like.
For sure.
So if I start that earlier and allow women to say, this is something I'm going to go through. It's biological. But what are the ways that I can actually work into improving the journey of it, decreasing symptoms, But also from a mind-body connection is how can I make this something that actually may be enjoyable? And I think if we create more community around that instead of the dreaded, oh my God, I'm going through menopause. It's horrible. I can't believe it. Or even for younger women who have not gone through it, oh my gosh, I just don't want to get there. You know, like kind of that's, and I think I find that in aging, I find that in menopause for women, it's like we're trying to push it away. But if we actually lean into it and we have the tools to lean into it with a way of gratitude, with there are things that are going to change and how do I make that better for me personally, then that is actually the best way to experience any portion of your life.
If you're just joining us on The Mountain Life, we're having a conversation with Dr. Jessica Shepherd. She's an OBGYN, and she has written a new book called Generation M, Living Well in Perimenopause and Menopause. And Jessica, I'm wondering, so among my friend group, you know, extended friend group, I've got friends who have never had their hormones tested. And then all the way on the other side of the spectrum are the ones that are getting the testosterone, you know, plugs to keep their libido going like crazy, you know. And I'm just wondering if we can look at the, sort of the caveats of both of those approaches, starting with if you don't get your hormones tested.
Yeah. I think there can be different ways of this approach, you know, and I think that every provider has their way of how they like to do it. I think in perimenopause, when we think of an approach of blood work and labs, it's very difficult. And the reason it's difficult, and a lot of, and I see both sides of it. There are a lot of physicians who will be like, no, you're still having your cycles. I'm not drawing labs. And I can see why, because it's very hard to figure out in a time frame of a perimenopausal woman where your hormones are because they're still working. And so it doesn't necessarily tell us one way or the other. We know you're having your cycle. But for me, what's most important is that you're having symptoms. And that's what I want to address are the symptoms. Will I draw labs on someone who asked me for in the perimenopausal phase? Absolutely. But I give them the context of what I'm able to see and what's helpful. But in the menopausal phase, I think that it is helpful for women who have now gotten to the point where they're not having cycles, their estrogen has declined, is being able to now say, now that I'm maybe giving you something like hormone replacement therapy, where is your level of estrogen now that I've given it back to you? And monitoring it that way. But even with that, I would say I don't adhere to labs in the postmenopausal phase as like Bible, and it has to be done so many times, because guess what I'm still doing? Treating your symptoms, right? At the end of the day, I'm still treating, not the lab, I'm treating the individual and their symptoms.
Okay, very interesting. So with, this is something I've always wondered. So say you're menopausal or postmenopausal and you're doing hormone replacement therapy, do women just do it until they die? Or is there then some place, some point in your life that you know, okay, we're done with this?
Yeah, I love this question. The reason I love this question is because this is the controversy that we've seen with hormone replacement therapy, is that 20 years ago when there was a WHI study and there was a flawed study, but what came out from that was actually misinformation of that estrogen causes breast cancer. And that's where everyone ran in the streets. It was crazy. And people were like running in the streets and with their heads cut off. What we have seen from then and where we are now is that we do know that still with hormone replacement therapy, there are different variations, amounts, dosages, and ways that you can get that. And that's really where the conversation needs to change, is because what they used in that study, it was actually not the estrogen that caused the breast cancer. It was the synthetic progestin. And exactly. And so I find that knowing that then, and now being able to change what we're able to give and why we're able to give it, there still is going to be risk. Now, did we find later on that there might be a slight increase in breast cancer if you're to take HRT? Yes, there is. But guess what else comes with that? And that's why I like to have the kind of complete conversation, is that when they looked at, say, 1,000 women, there are about 26 that with a certain type of HRT could have an increase in breast cancer, 26 out of 1,000. But guess what else is just along lines with that number? Smoking, BMI greater than 30, and also when we have, it was BMI, smoking, and alcohol. That's what it was drinking. So when you think of things in your lifestyle that actually still do increase to possibly the same level of breast cancer risk, that's where you have to have a conversation with yourself of what is the risk, but also what is the benefit. And the benefit that you get out of estrogen is actually far more beneficial than any of those other things in lifestyle, because those can't give you anything. It might be a good time, might be, you know, alcohol and, you know, a night out. But when you do that continuously and your lifestyle is now impacted by that, what about the benefit of HRT, which can improve your bone mineral density, which can protect your brain from anything like neurodegenerative disease, also help with your muscle and building your muscle mass, which we decrease after menopause, and that creates frailty, weaker bones, and an increase in actual things like Alzheimer's. So that's where every individual, and that's why I'm saying this is such a personalized decision in what you think works best for you. So knowing risk, but also knowing benefit, also knowing who you are, past medical history, and what you truly believe in and what you're willing to do for yourself is where the discussion should be, and not, you know, me as a medical provider saying you have to go on HRT. Am I an advocate for HRT? Absolutely. Do I think everyone needs to be on it? No. Does everyone want to be on it? No. Am I going to give you all the information of why I think you might want to be on it? Yes. But if there's something else and a reason why you don't want to do it, I want you to have so much information that you are so definitive in the decision that you make when it comes to HRT.
I love that. For me, I'm right in the midst of all this. And you mentioned a lot about brain fog and memory issues in the book, which has maybe been the most concerning. I mean, you go through life feeling like you kind of have a pretty strong understanding of your cognitive ability. Right. And then all of a sudden it's all jumbled up. Tell us a little bit about that and what you can do to mitigate those symptoms.
Yeah, no, I really like that, because so there's two things when we think of, I call it kind of executive functioning, when we think of cognitive function with memory, multitasking, kind of that brain fog, is that in the perimenopausal phase, it's actually very quite common to have that happen. And that has a lot to do, again, with the fluctuations of hormones. What we do see in literature is that you do start to see a leveling out after menopause, right? You kind of start to see a leveling out of what this memory cognitive function looks like. The problem then after that in your 70s and 80s is that there is a direct correlation between the neurons in our brain and how they can become inflamed or lose some of the things or develop plaques over time that can lead to dementia. That has a direct correlation with estrogen decline. And so that's why we now know that up to 70 to 80% of diseases such as Alzheimer's are actually impacted by women. They now also know that because of that significant decline that women go through in estrogen over the time frame of menopause, that now over the next 20 to 30 years, when they reach into their 70s and 80s and are appearing with this dementia, was that that was kind of occurring over that time frame. So the benefit of staying on estrogen does have some benefit to prevention later on in life, when we think of neurodegenerative diseases. So they're kind of two different categories, brain fog and kind of that cognitive function that you initially feel does level off, but over time with the decline of estrogen, we know that now the process of having neurodegenerative disease later on in life is also gonna be increased risk because of no estrogen being available.
Ah, I see. Well, that's comforting, really, like the earlier part of it, because anyone who's experienced mommy brain, you know, when you first have a baby, I mean, that hormones absolutely affect the way you think and your focus and all kinds of things. One of my favorite things about this book is just talking about claiming your own menopause, taking control of your situation, choosing to create your lifestyle changes. Yeah. Can you give us some of the greatest hits of ways that we can do those things?
Yeah, I think, you know, this is a big part of how I live my life as well. And that's why it was important for me to write the book, is because also I see, you know, my life going, you know, through perimenopause, how I've been able to change the experience because of lifestyle. And so when we think of lifestyle, those are the things of what our bodies are starting to do and adjusting to that. So there's a way that we can do that with how we eat, how we fuel our body. You know, a lot of the complaints that you hear through this time frame are gaining weight, right? And so gaining weight, and you're just like, but we're doing the same thing. And it's still having an impact on my weight gain. And that's because our body changes in how our fat cells start to accumulate, how glucose is actually metabolized in our system, our muscle mass is decreasing.
The menopot, the little belly.
Migration of fat. You're like, you were not invited here at all. And so it's all these things together, which we can now, the goal really to me is how do we offset those things that are biologically going to happen? And we can do that with the protein that we're starting to take, because we know that our muscle mass is decreasing. So you want to emphasize muscle, because muscle is the organ of longevity. It keeps you strong, but it also keeps you from being frail. But it also utilizes glucose. So the less muscle you have and the less absorption of glucose you have now contributes to how we accumulate fat, where it goes, and also increasing our risk for heart disease, diabetes. And so that's how we have to offset it. How are we eating? Improving our protein intake, strength training, building our muscle so that we're strong and it can stabilize our bone. And all of these things, again, start to, it's a work in progress. And the more that you're able to make these changes over some time, it's really for long-term, it's a marathon. And that's what we talk about in Generation M. This is not a sprint, this is your life. And you have the ability over the course of time to attune and adjust to what you would want as the output or the outcome in the future.
Well, I love this whole notion of owning your menopause journey and talking about it not as just a biological event, but as you say, a cultural event. We have lots of listeners who, the other 50% who won't go through menopause, but they go through it in some way because they have wives and mothers and daughters and all of that. So what is a way that men can help look at this whole world?
I think that the uncomfortableness of the conversation, which is, you know, kind of in the stage that we're in, is that the more that we start to converse, the less uncomfortable it will be. And when we can really get men on board to understand that, one, it's a transition, two, it's not personal. Well, you know, I've heard a lot of men say that because of how their spouses or partners have responded as they go through this personal journey, they're not necessarily sharing it with them, their mood changes, irritability, the mind-body connection of someone literally saying, what is going on with my body? Or my mind has changed, or I just don't feel the same. And being able to express that is actually very difficult. And so the more that we're able to create this kind of community of, these are the changes that are happening, women can then find more of the words to be able to express to their partner what's going on. But from the men who are listening, is to understand that it's something that all women will experience. And it's not just a day. It's not just a day that you're like, oh, well, I'm kind of in menopause, and then you just kind of keep trucking along and you're better. It's now these things that are occurring over time. You never know what's going to happen. You don't know what the experience is going to be. You don't know how severe it's going to be. And then women are kind of going through that over a course of years. And that is really where we need to level set in this experience and how, one, we find the words for it for women. But two, when men are now hearing this conversation, is resting assured that now that it's a conversation, they can be a part of it in support.
In the introduction, I suggested that it's women in their from their late 30s through 60s. What is the youngest person that goes through menopause?
What is
the oldest, you know, that you've experienced?
Yeah. So for me in my practice, when we kind of have our definitions of menopause, anyone who's younger than 40 and goes through menopause, meaning they don't have cycles, that's what we call premature menopause, okay? I haven't had many. I've had a few, like in my career, very few that have gone through even as young as 40, because that's still relatively young, but it doesn't mean it can't happen. Mm-hmm. The latest, I mean, as long as you're having cycles, I've had women who are like 57, 58, and they're like, God dang it, this cycle is still here. And I can see that it's so frustrating. You know, the average age is 52, but you do have, again, a small population that will still kind of be having cycles at like 57, 58. So when we think of that, you know, you really want to, again, give space to people who may have it early, which can be devastating for some. And those, again, who have it later, who they're completely frustrated because they're like, I'm so done with this cycle. And so, again, contextually understanding the range of it, but also the experiences in that as well, because the cycle is just one part of it. But that's how we're able to tell if they're truly in menopause, is if they're having cycles or not.
Yeah. Well, the book is Generation M, Living Well in Perimenopause and Menopause. And our guest has been Dr. Jessica Shepherd. Jessica, what a pleasure it's been to speak with you. This is a really great holistic guide for women between, you know, late 30s and 60s. Yeah. What a spread of years.
Yeah. And I think it's even the women who are younger. You know, I think the more that women try kind of know what's coming down, you know, the in their path, the more prepared that they will be. And, you know, I truly wrote it in a way that it's an easy read. It really kind of brings in so many different aspects to the journey, but also that you'd want to pick it up again, you know, because you never know if something else comes down the line, or even if you're just like, you know what, I need to find out a way to work out differently, that you could still get that information from the book.
And you present so many gifts of menopause too. So those of us who aren't sure what it means to our personal growth and transformation, this book, Generation M, will give you some wonderful guidance. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Life here on KPCW. You can find this episode on kpcw.org under the Shows tab, or on the KPCW app, or wherever you get your podcasts at KPCW The Mountain Life. And if you like today's episode, rate us, subscribe to the show, and share it with your friends.